The word of the Lord is open this evening to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. I'd like to read the first 17 verses with God's help. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer, little children, to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Desire to conclude with verse number 17. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all bow in prayer. Loved ones, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us many lessons in this passage of Scripture that we've read. Lessons of faith, lessons to endure in prayer, lessons in humility, and we can benefit greatly for our lives to take heed to each and every one. The last few verses that we've read together of Jesus taking up the little children into his arms and teaching the disciples through this experience speaks to each of us, and we desire to meditate upon this instance that took place. Just as we remembered current events that are taking place now, that seem to bring our needs and our condition to the forefront of our mind. Jesus also took opportunities where something happened that was maybe unexpected, but he used them as a way to teach his disciples and to teach those who are around him about the kingdom of God, the nature of that kingdom, how it is ruled and governed and ordered, who is in that kingdom, and about himself as the one who is the one true king of the kingdom of God. And we need to learn the lessons of the kingdom of God, for it's very different from the kingdoms of this earth. The values are very different. We read in the Beatitudes that those that mourn are blessed. Those that are poor are blessed. Things that don't quite make sense to the physical priorities of this world. And even the Bible explains and confirms that the preaching of the cross is to those that do not believe foolishness, but to those that believe it's the power of God unto salvation. And here we read that Jesus is using this instance that takes place to teach the disciples, for of such is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is made up of ones who are like these children. It all began when people were bringing children to Christ, infants, that he would touch them, that he would pray for them, that he would bless them. And his disciples saw it, and they rebuked them and turned them away. But Jesus called unto them and said, "Suffer the little children," or "allow them to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." This experience, and especially the disciples' part in this experience, is not very complimentary to them. But I think we can all appreciate the writers of the Gospels, how they did not hide things that were valuable to us, even though it might have been embarrassing or a painful rebuke to them. And it shows us how real and genuine the writers of the Gospels were, and how important and powerful this teaching of Jesus was. This experience was recorded in all of in the three Gospels. We call them Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they're written as if they were from a similar perspective, and they record very similar event. In Matthew chapter 19, we can read the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to pen the words. He says, "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not, to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid hands on them and departed thence." It's very similar. The disciples had the same role, and Jesus had the same role. It's not hidden. In Mark chapter 10, this account is written again. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16. "And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. You see, each of the gospel writers wrote the same account. They all had maybe a few different words. And notice here, Mark writes after Jesus gives the teaching that he explains what Jesus did physically. And that's a common thing in the Gospel of Mark. It's a gospel of action. And you see the word immediately very, very often. They're going from place to place. Jesus is doing things. He's active. And it says, and he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. He's got that perspective, and he brings that to our forefront. And we sang about that. We sang about that in the opening hymn. In the end of the second verse, it says, as thou, devoted love, dost hold me. Here it's talking about Jesus taking them up in his arm, putting his hands upon them and blessing them. And sometimes when we think about and visualize what was taking place, we can get a stronger sense of the belonging and the embrace and the acceptance of Jesus Christ. And it can minister to our souls. And we can, in turn, in faith, have a response to that. Just as the songwriter wrote, as thou devoted love dost hold me, so in my heart would I enfold thee. Jesus says, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. The song and the scripture are agreeing. In the heart of one who receives and embraces the kingdom of God and the King, Jesus Christ, to enfold him in our hearts, even as he, with his devoted love, does strongly and securely hold us, oh, that we would also have a faith, that we would also, as the children, understand our need and dependence upon the Lord to provide for our very breath, all the things that we take care of, this physical body, and much more, the spiritual. That we would ponder upon the precious blood that was shed. The blood that was shed by the Lamb of God, by which we were redeemed. Not by the things of this world, but that by that precious gift of God, the Son of God that came to us, that we would also embrace, receive him, hold to him, bind ourselves to him, and receive him just as a little child. All of these accounts, they begin with the children and the disciples rebuking them and rebuking the ones that brought them. And this brings to our minds just the stark contrast between the kingdom of this world and its values and the kingdom of God that Jesus is trying to teach the disciples about through this experience. At the time of this writing in the Roman Empire, children were not valued. They were considered as possessions. Fathers were given the right to discard of their children if they deemed them as a hindrance or a bother. It's a cold and heartless kind of view of such a precious gift of God, and also for the future of humanity, if you look at it that way. But it highlights exactly what drives this world. And it's not very different from today. For reasons of convenience, some even say there should be less children because the world doesn't have enough resources. There's not enough to go around. But I appreciate the perspective of one who had said, the world, God has placed enough in this world to meet mankind's need, but not for mankind's greed. Perhaps if mankind would live a simpler life, then there would be more to share. But that's not how it is. Mankind is driven by greed to accumulate, to hold for ourselves, and to even cast away the gift of God to be able to enjoy and to accumulate more. And so we think that's a Roman pagan world that could discard of children at will, but it's also a cold, heartless, godless world that we live in today. It hasn't changed much. The preaching of Jesus Christ, though, the preaching of John the Baptist that was foretold in the prophets, said that with this new preaching, with this new teaching, with this new order of society and family and of our hearts, that God would turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children to their fathers. That we would reflect the kind of father that God is to us. Caring, sacrificing, giving, embracing, and helping. And that is what we, as God's children and fathers of our own children, should strive to be. To reflect the values of God. And although the tendencies of the stereotypes of fatherhood that are portrayed in the world of being lazy and negligent, they come up from time to time. But that just highlights the greed and the broken condition of man. And Jesus wants to usher in a new kingdom with new value, new hearts that are transformed, and wants his kingdom to be populated with ones who are of such hearts as childlike. See, a child will reflect their parents. And the Lord desires for us to take his teachings and to be salt and light in this world, that the world may see those good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. That they would see that we have a trust and reliance and a confidence and a calm expectation in how God will provide for all of our needs, such that we can focus upon God's kingdom. That we can let go of the cares that are so grasped for in this world. And that we could be free and available to love and to serve. And don't we see this in the heart of Jesus? Perhaps with the many crowds that were coming, the disciples were tempted to become more efficient in their use of time and prioritize certain needs. Mankind's ability to prioritize certain needs is very poor. And as mankind is trying to do better, we're committing some of those things to computers, and we make the cold, heartless algorithms that seek to figure out how valuable someone is, how valuable their information is, how much you should be spending time finding them on your search results. It's cold and heartless. And it's a poor system. because there's going to be some value system that's used to determine where our limited resources and limited time will go. Jesus had a heart and an embrace for these little children who the world would not have time for. Ones who were neglected, by and large. Ones who were not seen as significant. Worth the time. Not a priority. And as we would let our hearts and minds dwell on that reality of Jesus' love, of his embrace, of the particular care that Jesus taught us that God has for his creation, you and me, that he would take the time to even know how many hairs are on your head right now. Who cares for that sort of minute detail? We read in Peter, how he writes to those who have been redeemed that God has called us who are not a people to be his people. Those who have not obtained mercy to obtain mercy. Those who are neglected. Those who are cast down. And we see a receiving heart in Jesus Christ. It says, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not." This world and life definitely do have their hard moments. And there's joys too, of course. And those joys and glad times, they're nice, but they give way to hardship. They give way to loneliness. They give way to being rejected. And Jesus said, especially for the children of God, that we should perhaps expect that in this world. But there is a place. There is a refuge. There is a comfort. There is a home. That there is always room at Jesus' side. There's always room at the one who said, "Come and follow me. Come and follow me to Calvary. I know what it is like to walk those miles of loneliness when all of your friends turn away from you." When we go to him in those times, when we see him as our refuge and God opens our eyes to the reality that had been there all the time, how much we need him, how much we depend upon him. We find his love and care so much more precious. We find such value and help in his sufferings, in his scars and his bruises that he took for us. And it is good for us to remember. To remember not to stray far, but to stay close to the one that has welcomed us into his family by his death and his resurrection, and has brought us into this new kingdom, to listen to his word, to find that his ways are far better than anything that we can experience or enjoy here on earth. Jesus says, "Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in." to receive with faith, to embrace with trust, to recognize our dependence and need, to have the simplicity of children and the purity of heart that long for nothing else, but that he would hold us, that he would bless us, that we would be close to him, even as Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet. This kingdom is far different, its values completely opposed to those of this world. The more we learn that, the more we remember that, the better off that we will be in making wise decisions to serve the Lord, to understand our role in the world. We read, just in closing, just would like to read a verse from the Zion's Harp that speaks on this topic. Number 336, the last verse says, "Instead of fathers, thou hast children, whom thou dost set on earth to reign. As rulers and as they who conquer, they follow in their victor's train. They think of thee with joy and gladness. All nations thank thee and adore. And in the blessed everlasting, thy praise shall sound forevermore." Jesus even spoke of this theme that, "Do not call any man on earth your father, for you have one father, even God. And you all are brethren." So instead of fathers, instead of a hierarchy and rulers, God has a kingdom of children who follow him. It says, "whom thou dost set on earth to reign." God has called each of us to a spiritual battle and to be victorious. And he provides all that we need. And we must trust him as children, trust the parents to provide for us all that we have need of. When we have that attitude, we set ourselves up for blessing. And to have the faith that is needed in order to receive God's grace, which we are so desperately in need of. And it says, as rulers and as they who conquer, they follow in the victor's train. The victor, with a capital V here, is Jesus Christ. And he has told us, "Follow me wherever I go. Follow me to the cross. Follow me through resurrection in faith." He is the victor and has given us the example. He has shown us through his meekness who belongs in the kingdom of God. It's my hope and prayer that as we meditate upon this vastly different kingdom, that Jesus took this opportunity to illuminate, to explain, to help us understand who we are and where we need to be, that we would have that desire for the kingdom of God. We listen to Jesus' words, fashion ourselves as little children, understand how he holds us and would also enfold him in our hearts in faith. May God bless his word. Amen.
For us to come into God's house and be reminded again of his truths. We were reminded this evening that the kingdoms of this world are much different than the kingdom that Jesus Christ spoke of and that he wants us to be a part of. Two separate kingdoms, two separate ways. Jesus had to explain that to his disciples because they had it wrong. And he's telling them, "You have this wrong. Let me tell you about what the kingdom of God is like." He told his disciples in another place at another time, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them." There's this authority that they were used to. "And they that are great exercise authority upon them." He says, "But it shall not be so among you." This is not the way it's going to be for you. And he's telling him, telling them and telling us that our hearts need to be in the right place that we would receive the kingdom of God. And he says these children are this perfect example of what the kingdom of God is like. And so we need to become as children that we might enter into the kingdom of God. And so we ask ourselves, well, what are the attributes of a children that Jesus is speaking of that we might become like, that we might be a part of the kingdom of God? Spiritual receptivity. To be able to receive the teachings of Jesus Christ. And not to say, no thanks, I know, I got this, as someone in authority would be as. And so we are to have reception to what the Lord would have us to be like, to have a childlike spirit, to have a simplicity about ourselves. A simplicity about ourselves. That's what the kingdom of God, how it is when entering into the kingdom of God. And then to have that teachable attitude that Christ is calling us to and calling his disciples to. That we would have this teachable attitude. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they didn't have that teachable attitude. They didn't have that attribute in their lives. They scorned Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. They scorned him. They didn't have a teachable attitude about themselves. And so this is what the Lord is calling us to, that we would not be as the world likes to think of kingdoms, an authority figure telling everyone else underneath them what they have to do and what they can't do. But no, to have a servant heart, to be childlike, to receive his teachings, to be teachable, and to walk in simplicity in his ways. So may God bless his word upon our hearts as we consider what his word is for us. Amen.